frames. Your frames can change the game. We might be in the same exact space and not see the same. Because some of you rock frames that are pessimistic. You analyze every negative statistic, despise the dreamers as unrealistic, and thank God opportunities show up and you missed it. But I love those that are optimistic. Could see my hood in Tampa and envision an innovation district, helping people that are misfits find the God-given purpose of their existence. But some have blind frames. They just can't see it. Their blind spots have them thinking crypto isn't real, so they stick with traditional fiat. So be it. Now life can cause our frames to get tainted. The pandemic had some believers in Christ that fainted in fear and fainted in faith. See, our human frames cause us to stay in a space that feels safe, even if it isn't. But put on a pair of God frames, it's so exquisite. It'll turn your greed into generosity. It'll flip your frames and your philosophy. Where others are blinded by potential, you won't be blinded by mediocrity. And your fear will fade. And you can confidently say, God's got me. And your entitled frames can turn grateful. You can show love to your neighbor, even if they're hateful. Throw a block party cookout and bring them a plate full. I promise, your lustful frames can get pure. Your creator has a cure. He can rewire your whole brain contour. This next season could be your greatest encore. So it's time to reframe from a temporary to eternal frame. You can see Christ as an opportunity depending on your frames. So flip yours and change the game. Frames. So frames, I recently wrote a book called Frames, and you know, Pastor Joe said I'm kind of like out the box, and so I put the book in a box. So the book actually comes in a custom box. It comes with an online masterclass. There's a CD in there and even a pair of frames. Yeah, that's right. And I heard all the dads are getting frames today too, right? So, but I do want to bless, I want to bless somebody with a frames kit, a frames box today. I want to bless a special dad in the house. So I want to bless the dad who has the most kids, okay? So if you have like dads, if you have more than two kids, raise your hand. Okay, more than three kids, keep your hand up. Okay, more than four kids, keep your hands up. Okay, I think we're down to one guy. Anybody have more than this guy right here? More than, how many kids you got, man? Five kids. Come on, give it up for my man. He got a basketball team. Come on up, man. Get your frames box. Pastor Joe's going to take it to you. Come on, give it up for him, man. He deserves some love. You got to do some reframing when you have five kids, right? So, listen, my frame started to change about 25 years ago, and I grew up in church as a pastor's kid, a PK, right? That's what we call them in the church world. And so even though I was made to go to church, as I became a teenager, I started to stray away from God. And so I had one foot in the church because I was made to go, and one foot was out in the streets in Philly doing some things that I shouldn't have did. And I found myself in some trouble at some different points of time. But God always kept his hand on my life. And soon I found out that the street life and everything the world had to offer, it was just empty. And so I came back to God, and he began to flip my frames. And so I went from somebody that was pessimistic to optimistic. I went from someone that was greedy to someone that became generous. I went to someone who was thinking in a temporary mindset to someone who started thinking eternally. And so I'm just curious, has God flipped anybody's frames here today? Come on, make some noise in the house. If God has done some things in your life. And so how many of you guys have ever maybe missed the opportunity because you had on the wrong frames? Maybe pessimistic frames, right? So this was about 10 years ago, and Pastor Joe shared how we took over a old Toys R Us store, and so it was a huge undertaking. We went literally from 6,000 square feet to 43,000 square feet. So it was a huge leap of faith for our young urban church. And so we had some construction debt. We had just a lot of weight on our shoulders, although God was moving those first couple of years when we were in there. And so, but everything was tight. The budget was tight. And we were coming up to Easter, and we tried to carve out a little bit of our budget, and a new movie theaters had just moved in at the mall a couple blocks away. And we said, man, you know what? We want to try something new to kind of advertise our Easter services. And you know how you go to the movies? Well, nobody goes to the movies anymore. Remember when we used to go to the movies, right? And before the movie, there would be like some advertisements that would show up on the screen, right? So we're like, you know, we could do maybe some ads for the church, and you know, and so we did that. We met with this guy from the movie theater. He came to meet with us and had a little talk, and he was giving us his sales pitch. And we're like, well, look, this is the amount of money that we have carved out. We just like to do it for a couple of weeks before Easter. And you know, he was like, well, you know, that's not really gonna work. I've been doing this a long time, and if you really want advertising to work, you got to do it for at least 6 months, preferably about a year, and we have packages for that. And you know, we started to kind of go through the whole deal, and so I'm just like, so the price he ended up telling me was like five times what we had in our budget. And I'm just like, all these bills and everything, like, I was just frustrated, Pastor Joe. I'm like, man, this guy. How many of y'all ever felt like somebody was trying to give you the upsell, right? That's what I felt like in that moment. And my frames were jaded because it seemed like almost every other day somebody was coming to the church trying to sell us something that we didn't need or we couldn't afford, right? And so I was jaded. I'm looking at this guy through those frames like, here's another guy trying to sell me something that the church doesn't need or can't afford right now. And I said, all right, we'll get back to you. But I left that conversation frustrated. And so, but then I made a huge mistake, Pastor Joe. I used it as a sermon illustration that Sunday. Now, I wasn't dumb enough to use any names or any details or anything like that. So nobody knew except him. Because little did I know, he was watching church online that Sunday. And he sent me an email Sunday afternoon. And, you know, it started out very nice. And he's like, hey, you know, me and my wife tuned into your church service. And we really love the worship and the diversity. It's amazing what God's doing at your church. And, you know, then you got up for the message. And we were really enjoying it all the way up until the part where you started talking about me. And I was like, oh, Lord. And then he went on to say, me and my wife were praying about actually paying for the entire year of advertising for your church until you started talking about me in your sermon. So he was super offended, and the deal was off the table. And listen, I felt so dumb. It was a huge learning lesson. I'm like, man, I was looking at this guy totally through the wrong frames, right? I had the wrong frames on. Well, there's a scripture about 10 guys who had the wrong frames as well, pessimistic frames, and it caused over 1 million people to miss their purpose. And I'd like if you guys could stand with me really quick, and I want to read this opening passage of scripture today. And just to give you some context of what was happening, the Israelites have been in slavery for over 400 years and recently were freed from the Pharaoh and miraculously crossed the Red Sea. They were now in the desert and God was providing food and water for them. And they were going to this land that God promised for them. And they're kind of on the edge of this land. And God said, hey, Moses, I want you to send out some scouts. One scout from every tribe to go out and just check out the land and come back with a report. So that takes us to our scripture today in Numbers chapter 13 in the Old Testament. And starting verse 27, it says this. It says, we entered the land you sent to us to explore, and it indeed is a bountiful land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. They brought back samples of the fruit, and it was huge. But here's where it starts to turn. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, descendants of Anak. So the report started out good, but then it started to take this turn, right, in the wrong direction. And so then one of the guys jumped in to try to, like, switch it back to be positive again and change the vibe in verse 30, and the guy's name is Caleb. And it says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses and said, let's go at once and take the land. We certainly can conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with them, they disagreed. And they said, oh, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this what kind of report? What kind of report, y'all? I like when people talk to me a little bit. What kind of report? Bad report. There you go. Amongst the Israelites. And they said, the land we traveled through and explored, it will devour anybody who goes there. And all the people we saw, they were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. So you had these 12 scouts go out, and they all saw the same exact thing. Think about it for a minute. But just because you're on the same team, somebody say same team, doesn't mean that you have the same frames. Because two of them had very different frames than everybody else. And their reality ended up much different than everybody else. They saw the same exact things, but they viewed them in a very different way. They were optimistic. They were faith-filled. They had God frames, and their story ended up totally different. And so we're going to talk about that today really quick, but let me pray for us. Father, we just pray over these next couple of minutes that you help us to reframe some things. God, some of us that have been seeing things through the wrong lenses, God, I pray we'll get an adjustment today. We'll get a new prescription that you'll speak to us. You illuminate some brand new things to us and help us reframe it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Give somebody a fist bump next to you and tell them, change your frames. Change your frames. So you can be seated. So for a couple minutes, Transformation Family, I want to talk about how to flip your frames from pessimistic to optimistic. What does that look like? And so the last couple of years, things have been crazy, as we know, and we live in a different world now. We live in a world that has a 24-hour news cycle. Remember when you used to like wait up till 11 o'clock to watch the news at night, or you had to catch the news at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock news or whatever? Now, like, there's multiple news channels that just run 24 hours a day. On top of that, we got our social media feed, right? We got TikTok, Instagram, Telegram, YouTube, Twitter. Twitter's cool again suddenly. We got, you know, all these different things that we can watch and find news, right? And so even this week, you know, if you were watching the news, you heard about the war, you heard about inflation, you heard about the interest rate hike that went up, right? You heard about death, you heard about gas prices and murder and like all these bad reports that can make us feel overwhelmed, overstimulated. And we could just get stressed out, right? There's a lot of stressful news that's out there, right? We got information that's coming at us at speeds that mankind has never experienced before. And so, listen, we could do two things, y'all. We can choose to sink and settle, or we can choose to rise and lead. And so God is calling his people to rise and lead, to rise above the reports. During the pandemic, so many people just sunk and settled, right? So many people struggle with depression and anxiety and so much pressure and turn to drugs and pills and something to drink and something to smoke and just jumped into all kinds of stuff to try to cover up the pain, which just made it worse, right? But on the other hand, there was a group of people the last couple of years, a much smaller group, that thrived. There were some people that looked at the crisis and in the crisis said, you know what? There could be some opportunity here to maybe reinvent myself or do something new or meet needs in a whole new way. And so I've seen some people the past 2 years that they've crushed it. It's been an amazing season for them and their company and for some churches and some ministries. Our church in Tampa has thrived the past couple of years, and we're actually coming out of the pandemic stronger than how we went into it. And it really just depends on your frames, depends on the perspective of how you're looking at things, of how you are seeing things and how you can see opportunity even in the middle of a storm because you know that God's got you. So these Israelites, they heard the report of the 12 scouts. 10 of them were bad reports, right? 2 of them were good reports. Look at what happens next in Numbers 14. It says, then the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night. And their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. And they said, if only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us here to this country only to have us to die in battle? Our wives and our little ones, they'll be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to just return to Egypt? Egypt, hold up, are you serious? Like in Egypt, you were slaves, like working 12 hours a day for the Pharaoh making bricks in the hot sun. You want to go back to that? See, sometimes we can catch amnesia, right? And we only can remember the good moments, you know, in that bad relationship that we were in. We can only remember the good moments, you know, at that job that we had that was really terrible. But, you know, but we look back at it and we can say, we can only remember those good moments when we were high, you know, but not all the destruction, the path of all the junk that it left behind it. But sometimes the enemy can trick us and just help us to remember the pleasure parts instead of all of the pain that we were through, right? The enemy's going to try to come in. He's going to try to take those optimistic frames on and blind you with some pessimistic frames, y'all. And he's going to try to blind you from your destiny and your purpose. And listen, I know that life can be hard. The last couple of years has been challenging. We've had to navigate through things and deal with things that none of us have ever walked through a pandemic before, or lived in a pandemic, or led a family through a pandemic, right? It's been challenging. But even in the middle of that, if we can have the right frames on, like, man, we can still praise God. Can somebody praise God today, even if you're going through a struggle today? Like, God's got you. It's okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to get better. It's all about your frames. Look at your neighbor and tell him Egypt is not an option. Don't go back to Egypt, y'all. Some of you have been freed from sin and freed from different things in your life. You don't want to go back. She was crazy. You don't want to go back. You know, that situation was wild. Like, listen, there's no pill you could pop. There's no high you could have. There's no phone call you can make at 2:00 in the morning to somebody you shouldn't be calling. None of that's worth it to miss God's plan for your life. And the enemy's going to try to keep you from God's plan. Joshua and Caleb, they were two scouts. They had the right frames on. They had optimistic frames. And they tried to convince the crowds of people. Like, listen, guys, like, this is the promised land. Like, look at the miracles God's already done. He's freed us from Pharaoh. We walked through the Red Sea. He's been feeding us in the middle of the desert. Like, we got this. Come on, guys, what's wrong with you? So they tried to convince them, and you would think that, you know, after they shared some of those facts that all those people have lived through, they could convince them. But look at what happens next. I'm going to read a little bit from page 24 of my frames book. It says, you would think maybe they would turn the crowd and they would listen and go and take this land that God had already promised them. But when you lead higher, not everyone will want to follow or jump on the team. Some will want to kill you. Some will want to kill your dream or at least kill your vibe. And that's exactly what the people of Israel did. They were talking about stoning Joshua and Caleb. God was ready to kill all of them, but in his grace and mercy, he spared them. But he made a promise that not one of them would ever enter the promised land because they listened to the wrong reports. Because of their disobedience, they were to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. 10 people with pessimistic frames cost them 40 years in the desert and no passport into the promised land. Wow. 10 people with pessimistic frames, with the wrong frames on, caused over 1 million people to miss their purpose. Because that's what historians estimate. There was a couple million people that were in this caravan that were leaving slavery and going to the promised land. And right here is like, anybody over 20 years old is not going to make it. Anybody over 20 years old died in the wilderness. But except for two guys made it. And by the time they made it, they were in their 80s. Who was that? That was Joshua and Caleb. That was the two guys that had the right frames on. Change your frames can change the game. So how do we flip our frames from pessimistic to optimistic? Because let's be real. Our human nature is we get pessimistic, don't we? We like to complain. We like to look at the negative things a lot of times. So how do we do that? I want to give you three tools really quick today to flip your frames. Three things to help you reframe it. The first one is this. If God said it, believe it. Maverick City got a song like that. Anybody know Maverick City? I got to go to their concert in Tampa a couple of weeks ago. We launched a church in Atlanta. And our Atlanta campus, the pastor, his name is Pastor Scott Free. He's actually the pastor of Maverick City now. And he goes on tour with them. And so we got to get backstage passes, Pastor Joe. So it was pretty cool. So amazing concert to see God move. And so they sing, they have this song, "If God Said It, Believe It." Right? Numbers chapter 13, God told Moses, "I am giving you this land." Doesn't matter how big the people are, how big their cities are, how big the obstacles are. Like, I'm God. I just freed you from the Pharaoh. I've done all these miracles. Can't you see this? Right? So we can look at that and we can get judgmental, right? Like, what's wrong with those people? Man, if I would have walked through the Red Sea looking at those walls of water, I'd have been like, let's go. Like, whatever you say, God, I'm with you. You know what? But how many of y'all have ever seen a miracle in your life or somebody in your family? There's been some kind of miracle, something supernatural that happened that you couldn't complain. Most of us could say, yeah, I've seen a miracle in my life. I've seen many miracles in my life, in my church and in people in my church and miraculous stuff. But you know what? I've doubted before as well. I've complained as well. That's our human nature. We put on these pessimistic frames so easily. Right? So we all do it. Right? God gave us the vision to move into that old Toys R Us store, and we watched God do all these miracles at our old little campus, and lives were changed. There was people that were coming from literally all over the world to come see what God was doing at this little church in the hood in the middle of Tampa, right? And so we saw so many lives change, so many miracles. Like, we had young people that went into ministry full-time. We sent them out as missionaries, just marriages restored. People come off of drugs, come out of gangs, all kinds of incredible stuff. But then we saw this Toys R Us building. We're like, oh, I don't know if God can do that. Right? We did the same thing. We're like, that's going to be over $1 million. We don't have, how much money you got? I don't know. We pull our money together. We got like $15. Like, how are we going to do that? Right? So I've been there, right? It seemed like an impossible dream. And there was some days, man, I was full of optimism. I'm like, we got this. But then there was other days when the obstacles and the walls and the deadlines came up, and it was like, man, what am I thinking? I'm just a dreamer. But you know what? You know what? We pushed through. God said it. We believed it. We trusted. We watched it come to fruition. Here's the second thing, y'all. Second thing to flip your frames. God usually doesn't perform just one miracle that gets us to the destination. That's a lot of times what we're looking for, right? God, just give me that one big miracle, right? Usually it's lots of little miracles along the journey, isn't it? We can go watch God show up again and again and again and again. And as my church was trying to rebuild this former Toys R Us store, you know what? It was one little miracle after the other. It was one little thing. And God just kept opening up the door, like, right at the right time. And sometimes we felt it was too late, but then God would show up like a day later and we're like, okay, wow, like step by step. And I might have shared this story before, but the guy that did the construction build out for the Toys R Us building, we had met him just 6 years before in prison. And not prison, actually juvenile prison. He was 17 years old. So now this kid was 23 years old from our church. Some guys had mentored him and raised him up. And this was the guy that did the build out for our 43,000 square feet. We had to fire the first contractor because he was lying and doing some crazy stuff. And we hired this 23-year-old from our church. And so the price was $1.7 million for the build out. He said, "Pastor Tommy, can I rebid the project? I think I could get the price down a little bit." I was like, "Sure, please." Right? Because we only got $15, remember? So he got it down to $1 million. He saved us $700,000. At the end of the project, we were short. We didn't have enough money to finish it. And he said, "Man, we're going to finish this, whatever it takes. You know, like we got to figure this out." Like, I was like, "I know, but man, we're like out of fundraising ideas. We've done everything, right? I don't know what to do." And he's like, "Well, listen, I'll loan you the money from my company and y'all can pay me back whenever you can." And I said, "Man, that's generous, but we're short $200,000. He said, "Pastor Tommy, that's exactly what I have in the bank for my company, and I want to donate it to the church." Like, what 23-year-old do you know has $200,000 in the bank liquid, right? This kid that we met in the juvenile detention center saved us $700K, and then he loaned us $200K to help us get into the building. Come on, give God some praise. Like, so you never know who you're ministering to and how God could use them and the world changer that they could end up being, y'all. So remember, God usually doesn't perform just one miracle to get us to that destination. It's a series of miracles. And here's the third thing to flip your frames. The last thing this morning, y'all, hang around with optimistic people. If you're always around negativity, it is going to drag you down. It's going to kill your dream. It's going to kill your vibe, right? On the other hand, if you're around people that are positive regularly, it's going to pull you up. It's going to encourage you. It's going to lift you up. And so be honest today for a second. What do the frames look like of the people that you spend the most time with? What do they look like? So for me, there was a season of my life earlier in my ministry. There were some people that I had to stop spending as much time with them because I realized they were pulling me down. They were pulling the ministry down in some ways because they didn't have the right frames on. And as time went on and I grew spiritually and matured more, we really didn't even have as much in common anymore because I was moving forward and what God had for my life, and they were still stuck with their pessimistic frames on. Now listen, I'm a pastor, and so I'm always going to be ministering to people with pessimistic frames. I love people with pessimistic frames because I want to help flip your frames, right? But in some of my time that's on the side, I want to hang around with people with optimistic frames, people that are going to encourage me, pour into me, challenge me in some good ways, in ways that I'm going to be filled up when I walk away from that conversation. And so I have life-giving relationships around me instead of life-draining relationships, right? Last night, I got to have dinner with Pastor Joe and his wife and Pastor Jose from Newburgh and his wife Annette. And so me and my wife regularly, my wife was all excited to see her girls, and I was with the fellas and stuff. And we were just sharing stuff together. And it was great to be with some fellow ministers that had optimistic frames on. Even in the middle of the pandemic, and it's been challenging to lead during a time like this, both him and Pastor Jose, they were both sharing about this excitement that they had about God sending revival to New York. About God sending revival to New York, y'all. How many of y'all believe it can happen? And they were talking about some glimpses of it that they've seen at some things and events and services that they've been at. And they're like, man, God is about to break something. In the middle of all this pressure and the tension and the stuff and the burnout that we've been going through, they're praying like, man, God is. And I was getting excited, man. I didn't even share it, but I was excited last night and praying like, because I know God's doing something at my church in Tampa. And I was at that concert a few weeks ago, seeing my city worship God. And was like, man, God is up to something. I believe revival is about to happen, but it all depends on what frames you're looking through. Are you looking for it? Are you looking to be revived? Are you looking for God to do new things? It all starts with your frames. So I want to pray for you this morning. If you bow your heads with me around the room, if you're worshiping online, you could just pause whatever you're doing and just pray with me for a second. And you can't flip your frames and say, man, I just want to have optimistic frames just with willpower. First and foremost, it starts by having a relationship with Jesus. You have to know him personally. He's the one that can flip your frames. And so you might be here today and maybe you've been distant from God. Maybe you've walked away from God for a season. I know the past couple years has been challenging and a lot of people have doubted and questioned their faith. Maybe you're here today or you're worshiping online, and maybe you've never had a real relationship with Jesus before. You've heard about it, you believe in it, but you haven't really like personally got to know Jesus. But today, God is talking to you in a new way. He's tugging on your heart. If you're here today and either of those situations are you, right here on this Father's Day 2022, you can get right with Jesus today. You can build a brand new relationship with him. You can reframe it today. So if you're here as everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you and you would say, man, I need to get right with Jesus today, just simply As everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand up. Raise your hand up. I want to pray for you from right up here. I see you. Awesome. Awesome. I see you. If you're worshiping online, just put in the chat, pray for me. We have some people that are going to pray for you as well. I want to lead you guys in a prayer in just a moment. But I want to ask this as well to everybody else here that may already have a relationship with Jesus. If you're here and maybe you're already serving Christ, but you can admit today that your frames need a new prescription. Like, man, I've been kind of pessimistic at times, and I need to see things through God's eyes. I need to be more optimistic. If you could be honest enough today to admit that, just raise your hand if that's you. You're like, I need to be more optimistic. Awesome, I see you. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. But those of you that raise your hand, I want to lead you through this prayer. Make this your heart's cry today to get right with Jesus. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that you sent to the earth to die on the cross for my sins, my mistakes, my mess ups. And today, Father's Day, 2022, I ask you to forgive me. I admit that I've messed up. I need new frames. So clean my frames. Clean my heart. Make me brand new. Help me to follow you and the plan you have for my life. Give me courage to take my next steps. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for everyone that just prayed that prayer. And God, I pray for every hand that went up, people that are already believers, but they said, man, I need to reframe some things. I need to become more optimistic. God, I pray you'll open their eyes to the beauty that's around them, the opportunities, the great things that are happening. And I pray that as you flip their frames, that they'll become contagious, that they're going to change other frames in every room that they walk into. When we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, when we have a relationship with you, when we walk in the room, we can shift the atmosphere. Help us to shift that atmosphere. And God, we pray for revival. Revival to take place in New York. Revival to take place right here at TC. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this house through each and every person that's here. Bless the fathers today. We love you. We pray this in Christ's name. Everyone said, amen.